9:6 uses this analogy of sowing seed and gives us a principle, presents a principle of the Lord. I'll read it in verse 6 of 2 Corinthians 9. Did I say 1st? Okay, 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6. "For this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." A principle. Simple. If you want a lot of grass, put in a lot of seed. If you skimp on the seed, you'll have skimpy grass. I got skimpy grass. But God didn't give us this to teach us about planting grass seed. Matter of fact, it's in the context of giving financially unto the Lord. Verse 7, "Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." How many of y'all gave this morning cheerfully? Not had to, you know. "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." What a great promise of God as we are giving the way that he wants us to. And financial stewardship, as important as it is not the subject of our message today either. In Galatians chapter 6, where Jim Jewell read for us, there's a few verses that I want to bring your attention to that's similar. I'll begin in reading in verse 7. "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of God," unto other believers in Christ. Now, life everlasting that he speaks of, the end of verse 8, is not just talking about salvation, but it's talking about everything that is good that is included in that salvation. All of that is something which we receive if we are sowing to the Spirit and not to the flesh in great reward. These two verses remind me of an old computer saying, maybe before some of your times, but garbage in, garbage out. When we were first getting used to computers, it was something in which you had to get through our old heads that if you put the wrong information in, you're going to get the wrong information out. Let's use a simple computer. It's called a calculator. A calculator, if you're adding 10 and 20 and 30 together, you're going to end up with what? Supposed to. But if you put in 10 and 22 and 30, you're not going to get 60 because you put in the wrong information. You put in the garbage, you put in the wrong information, you're going to get the wrong information out, the outcome. And so it is with the principle that God is sharing with us here. If we put the wrong stuff into our lives, we're going to get the wrong stuff out of our lives. If we put the good in, the correct, then we're going to get the good out, the blessing that God has. And so God's truth, whatever you put into your life, you're going to get out the same, whether it be good or bad. Now, there's an unrelated question I want to ask this morning. How many of you, I'll tell you age as well, how many of you have ever heard the children's song, "This Old Man"? This old man, he played one, he played knick-knack on my thumb with a knick-knack paddywhack in the dog bone. This old man came. Well, I know some of you younger generations didn't know that song, and don't worry about it. We're not fixing to sing it. Neither am I preaching on that song. But so that you would remember the title of this message today, I've entitled the message, "This Old Man." This old man. You'll see why as we dive into this passage. Father, I pray that you would help me to share very clearly the truth of your word. I thank you for this message, for our lives, for our young people, right through to our oldest that is here today. May we listen carefully. May we evaluate honestly. Lord, may we walk away from here today having experienced a change that you can bring about in our hearts. And I'll thank you for it all. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. I heard a preacher say this past week, I had, by the way, an opportunity to go to the VAIB business meeting on Thursday. And, if you don't know what's going on there, you may not appreciate this statement, but thank the Lord nobody killed each other. one of the pastors there told this story. He said, as talking to his son, he said, "Son, I can't give you land, and I can't give you a large inheritance, but what I can give you is my name, a testimony, the name." Proverbs 22:1 says, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches." A good name is rather to be chosen. You're going to meet an old man someday. It may be 10 years from now, maybe 20, maybe 30. He's waiting for you. The question is, what kind of an old man are you going to meet? He may be a seasoned, soft, gracious fellow. A gentleman that has grown old graciously, surrounded by a host of friends. Friends who have called him blessed because of what his life has meant to them. Hopefully you can think of somebody like that right now. He may be a bitter, disillusioned, dried up, cynical old buzzard. Without a good word for anyone, soured, friendless, alone. Maybe you've met somebody like that. No, I have both kinds. The kind of old man you're going to meet depends entirely upon you. For you see, that old man will be you. What are you going to be like 10, 20, 30 years from now? What do you hope that you will be like at that time? He's going to be a composite of everything that you do, everything that you think, everything that you say, everything that you allow through the inputs of our life to come in, remember, garbage in, garbage out. His mind will be set in a mold that you have made with your own attitudes. His heart will be turning out what you have been putting in. Verse 8, for he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Depending on what you put in. This old man will be exactly what you make him, nothing more, nothing less. And what I'm here today to tell you is, you have a choice that you can make. The problem with us too often is that we don't think about 10, 20, and 30 years from now. I know some of you are very righteous in thinking, I hope that the rapture takes place before then. I do too. But until the Lord comes, we are to occupy. And we're not just to occupy in any way, but we're to live Christ-like in this life. We're to live holy as he that has called us is holy. We are to live in such a way that it is a testimony unto others that watch and see us, that hear the way that we speak, the way that we talk, that watch the way that we respond, we react when things don't always go our way. Just recently heard of a situation where it was a poor testimony. You ever heard somebody make the statement, I gave them a piece of my mind? Normally, it's not a pretty thing to do. And it's not a piece of your mind that you needed to get rid of. Some people can't help it, though. They are bent on saying it if it kills them. Don't be that person. Let your speech always be with grace. That means something good that they don't even deserve. Seasoned with salt. Salt makes things taste good, even the palm of my hand. I do like salt, unfortunately. We were to speak in such a way that people may not deserve to hear from us that way, but that's the way God wants us to share. And we'll respond in such a way that would be a good testimony, just like what the Lord Jesus Christ would do. That's the way that we are to be living. Some might be saying right now, well, Pastor, what about me? I'm already that old man. I'm there. Is there any hope for me? Here today to say, yes, there is. Even if we've blown it, even if we're not what we should be, we may not ever be what we could have been, but if we will submit, if we will bow the knee to the Holy Spirit today, he can make a change in our old life even today. And so every one of us can be helped. Every one of us has the opportunity to bring change and see that change take place by the Holy Spirit's power as we yield unto his control. But all of us need to be hearing God's warning in verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That is the promise, that is the warning. If you live only in terms of what you can get out of life right now, then that old man gets smaller, drier, harder, crabbier, more self-centered. But if you open your life to others and think in terms of what you can do in helping others, in your life contribution, you may call it, then that old man grows larger, softer, greater and much more kind. But remember what God said in verse 7. What you put into your life, you're going to get out. And don't be deceived. Don't be deceived by others, and certainly don't be deceived by yourself. It doesn't matter if you're a junior. How many junior age young people we have in here? Raise your hand. Don't be shy. Get it up, Jackson. You're teetling on a teen. And all right. How many teens we got in here? Some more? How many pretty people we have in here? There you go. How many young adults, you don't have to raise your hand. How many middle-aged adults? How many older adults? It doesn't matter what age. God's principle is the same. The truth of what we're reading today, what goes in is going to come out, is the same. If you sow grass seed, you're going to get grass. If you sow weeds, you're going to get weeds, even though they're pretty dandelion. All of them are seeds. Whatsoever you sow, that shall you also reap. With seed, the quicker you start and the more seed, the more good input that you have, the greater the results you can expect. With our life, the sooner you start, juniors, teens, young adults, the sooner you start and the more good input of spiritual things you allow in your life, the better old man you're going to meet someday. That's the truth that I want you to hear today. Now let's look at some particulars. Flip with me over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, excuse me, is a wonderful chapter. Starts out telling us that we're to walk worthy. Walk has to do with our behavior. We're to behave worthy of the vocation wherewith we're called, that is, of a Christian. He goes on down to how the Lord Jesus has given unto the church today evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to that perfect individual that's like Jesus Christ, Christ-likeness. Shouldn't be children, but we ought to be growing in the truth of God's word. When we come to verse 17, it's also about walking. Paul says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth, that is, from here on after, walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind." Now, walk, again, is behave. Don't behave like other Gentiles. Who are these other Gentiles that he's speaking of? They're lost people. Notice it says, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, having given themselves over unto lasciviousness, the word means a leaving of one's moral standards, so giving themselves over unto immorality, to work all uncleanness with greediness, but ye have not so learned Christ. Don't walk like these other unsaved people. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Don't walk like these lost people do, because that's not the way that Christ walked. You haven't learned Jesus Christ and learned that that's the way that he lived. It's the very opposite. If so be that ye have heard him, that you have been taught by him that the truth is in Jesus. And what is the truth? What is the principle that he then gives? That we put off concerning the former conversation, the word means behavior, former behavior, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man. What's this new man like? It gives the indication in the next words. Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. This new man is to be after God. This new man is to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see that again in just a moment. We're to put off the old man in its behavior. We're to put on the new man in its behavior, being like Jesus Christ. And how do we do all of that? By being renewed in the spirit of our mind. How do you renew our mind? By applying and applying and reapplying and reapplying the good input of the Word of God, of the characteristics in which God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, is displayed to us. We are to be affected by what we put in. You know that very easily, we, without even thinking much or trying, can have all kinds of evil things put into this mind of ours through what we see, what we hear, places that we go, even some people that we're around. All of those things can affect us and do affect us. And while that's written on our minds, the only way that we can overcome that is not by rolling up our sleeves and saying, I'm not going to think about that anymore. No. But it's by taking the good input and putting it in and putting it in and keep putting it in until it covers over the other completely. That's the renewing of our mind. The exposure that we're to have. Romans 12:2, you know, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. The changing of this old man, the changing of this person comes as we renew our mind, as we are exposed to it. There's a similar passage over in Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, Paul writes unto them, and he says in verse 8 and following, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man. You're not lost anymore. You're different. You've been changed. So live out the life that we're supposed to be living. We put off the old man with his deeds, and we put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after what? After the image of him that created him. Who created us? Well, if you flip back over a page there to Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, the end of verse 16, it says, all things were created by him and for him. And speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son is the creator of all things. God the Father planned it. God the Son spoke it in the beginning. He said, let there be. And the Holy Spirit moved, it said, upon the face of the earth. All three are involved in creation. But it is given credit to God the Son who spoke it into being. All things are created by him and for him. He is the one that we're renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created us. We're renewed in knowledge about who he is, what he is like. How can we be like Christ if we don't know what he is like? And so it's important for us to know and have the knowledge of what Jesus Christ has said and done and who he is to us. Putting off the old man and putting on the new by renewing our mind. So there's a choice. Worldly garbage in, wretched old man comes out. Christ-likeness in, godly old man comes out. Simple. But the choice is yours, individual, young person. The choice is yours. That's why Proverbs 4 and verse 23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep our heart. What does that mean? Later in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7 says, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. What do we think in our heart? Talking about our mental abilities. More than that even. But certainly a part of that. Guard your heart, guard your mind with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. It's where you make your choices. And then he goes on after verse 23 of Proverbs 4, and he says, then guard the inputs. He says, guard what you listen to. Guard then what you look at. Guard where you go and even who you go with. Because all of these things are inputs into our lives. And they're either input of that which is garbage that's going to produce the wretched man, or it's input of that which is Christ-like and going to produce a godly man. Are you going to be a godly person? Are you going to be one that has a testimony that others probably don't like to be around and are embarrassed when you lose it and fuss at those that don't do things exactly the way you thought that ought to be done? The waitress or waiter that brings you your food and it's not cooked exactly the way you wanted it, it ain't their fault. They just brought it out. How do we act? How do we react? Guard your heart in all of the inputs, because it will affect you. God says, don't deceive yourself in thinking that it's not true. Whatsoever you put in, you're going to get out. Whatsoever you sow, that will you also reap. Understand God's truth. Now, any businessman runs a store or something that has merchandise, any good businessman is going to take inventory on a regular basis. But you know that the merchandise that he has in his store is not nearly as important as he is personally? Therefore, it's more important to take inventory of oneself. To judge and to say, how am I doing? Where am I in this process? Have I been looking at the wrong things, listening to the wrong things? Have I been hanging out with the wrong people that are influencing me in the wrong way? Evaluation. That's what inventory is. We all need to take personal inventory today. We need to judge. Compare yourself, not to each other. When God wants you to compare yourself, he doesn't want you to look at who's sitting beside you or down the pew from you or in front of you and say, well, you know, I'm doing better than they are, so I must be okay. And God says the people that do that are not wise. But what are we to compare ourselves with? It's God's standard. The Word of God. The written Word of God is all about the living Word of God. And we're to compare ourselves to Jesus Christ. We are to be Christ-like.
Amen.
And so if we're not, we're falling short of the glorious standard. And while we can say, well, none of us are perfect, as we're finding out in our adult Bible study on Sunday nights, that's not a good excuse. It's not any kind of excuse. to compare ourselves with the Word of God, and we're to let the Holy Spirit change us. Bow the knee of submission to the Lord. It's not just a pretty song. It's the truth that I picked right before the message today, because I knew that's what we need. The years slip by too fast. Do I have an amen on that? I remember when I was a junior and teen. I remember hearing messages myself where I had to make choices. I'm here today to say, we've got to take that serious, because it is all too true. We're making today, in our choices, in our exposures that we have, the inputs that come in, we're making that old man to be exactly what he shall be, who you will meet. Deuteronomy 32:29 says, "Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. That we would look ahead and see this old man and say, Lord, I want the testimony of that person, me, in that time, to be one that has walked well with you through the years. I want to have the outcome of those that watch my life not to say, oh, look at all of the things that they do these days. Look at the temper that they have. But it would be a testimony of godly living. So the time to take care of this old man is right now. Today, you need to make the choice. What you're going to do? Examine your motives. Examine your attitudes. Examine your goals. What is it that you want to be one day for God? Don't let that day just creep up on you very quickly, and it will. But make the choices now that will determine what kind of a person you will be then. Work on this old man while he is moldable, can be changed. You'll be much more likely to meet that old man that you would like to be. Every head bow, please. This old man . For some of you, it may seem so far away. But I hope for every one of us, we realize how close that is. There's no time to waste. It's kind of like saving money. The earlier a person begins saving money, the more opportunity they have to end up with more than they would have if they waited and started when they were 50 years old. Even if it's just a little bit. We need to make the changes today. We need to make choices today that's going to put equity into this old man later on in our life. What's your choice going to be today? Father, I pray that as we evaluate, as we take inventory of our spiritual lives, that we would honestly look and not deceive ourselves. Lord, if we have failed, and as we have failed, may we now submit that unto you and bow the knee of surrender to the Holy Spirit and let Him change us into the image of Christ. It may mean, Lord, that we've got to give up some inputs or change some inputs. whatever it is, Lord, I pray that we would be willing to make the changes in order to be not just today what you want us to be, but when we end up as you allow for us to be this old man. Father, bless, I pray, every decision made. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen.